106.9 WCTR, the greatest hits of all time. More and less in the morning. It's Thursday, and it's time for Pet Patter with Dr. Rachel Crockett. Good morning, Dr. Crockett.
Good morning.
So it's springtime, and the weather is starting to cooperate a little bit more. We're heading towards the warmer weather, and it's a good time to get out with our pets. And one of the things when you're taking your dog for a walk, and you're walking maybe in areas where people are working on their yards or, you know, they've got a lot going on, just some hazards that you might encounter and how you need to watch out for those. And maybe the importance of keeping maybe a first aid kit or a safety kit with you.
Yes, just going on any kind of walk, making sure that your dog is you've got a good hold. Because even if your dog is good around other dogs, I mean, especially if people are out and about, they like to spend time in their yards with their dogs. And just because they're in their own yard, they might not be appropriately tethered up. So just making sure you've got a good leash, that it's not partially bitten through with a couple of strands remaining. You know what I mean? Just making sure that you're able to control your pet on a walk. And then obviously, some of your outdoor hazards. With springtime rolling along, we are worried. I'm a little anxious. My husband said last week he saw like 4 little baby snakes crossing the path, as well as a larger snake. So I've heard a couple of clients talking about their encounters with snakes these past couple of weeks. So just know that things are starting to move around again with this nice weather. So things like snake bites, spider bites, they can present an issue for your dog when they're out and about. So just keep your eyes, you know, if you're walking on the path, that's one thing, but if they're in grasses or tall grasses, that might be a little bit different. So it's that time of year again. Bee stings, the bees are out like crazy right now as well. So I always think it's a good idea to have some Benadryl on hand if you're talking about putting together a little first aid kit. Oral tablets, the 25 milligram Benadryl tablets, those are really handy to have on hand. If you notice any swelling of the muzzle or even hives, that's really where our antihistamines can be really helpful. And the dose is 1 milligram per 1 pound. So if you have a 50-pound dog that got stung by a bee, they started to swell up, then that would mean you would give it 2 of the 25 milligram tablets a couple of times a day to help with that. And then if you didn't notice any kind of resolution with that, certainly calling your vet would be the next step, because sometimes Benadryl alone won't do it. Sometimes you need a little extra help from steroids, but Benadryl is a great thing to have on hand. Just the quicker you get that on board, the quicker it can get working. So that's a good thing. Just being out and about in general, you get more scrapes and punctures and things that you can have happen to the skin, some trauma to the skin. So peroxide is always great to have on hand. I love peroxide. You don't want to use peroxide as a continually on scrapes or any kind of open wound, because it can delay healing if you're using it every day. But if you're using it on after that initial trauma to the skin, just to clean it, and then it can then heal from then on out. That's a nice first aid thing to have handy. But also, if we get a hold of something that we shouldn't, let's say you're walking on the path down by Royal Farms and somebody's thrown out a chicken bone and your dog gets a hold of it, then giving them some oral hydrogen peroxide is a way to make them vomit, because certainly chicken bones can be bad news for a couple of reasons, especially that fried chicken. With dogs that are sensitive, you worry about a pancreatitis, among other things, gastroenteritis. But then the bones themselves, because they're cooked, they become brittle, and they can form shards. So that's a good idea. Just use, when in doubt, use peroxide. It will make them vomit, but that's what you want. And the vomiting doesn't last very long. So when in doubt, use peroxide. Unless it's a caustic agent and it's going to cause more harm than good coming up on the esophagus. So like, let's say they got into some bleach or something that's going to cause burning to the esophagus. You certainly don't want another pass of it coming right back up, because the esophagus is a pretty, pretty important structure, but it's also pretty difficult to heal and fix. So that's the one caveat for peroxide.
In the case of the chicken bones, is it the sooner you get them to vomit those back up, the better off they are?
Yeah. So keep that in mind. I mean, when we talk about using peroxide to bring up, it can only bring up what is in the stomach. So when we talk about stomach transit time, how long the food typically stays in the stomach, we say about an hour, like 40 minutes to an hour. There might still be a chance transit time is not necessarily a static thing, and it's different for different dogs, and it's different for different circumstances. So it might be that it slowed down a little bit from whatever was eaten, so you got a little bit more time than that. But typically we'll say, you know, if it's within the first hour, to go ahead and certainly try that. That's when peroxide can be your best friend.
I want to circle back to the thing that you mentioned early about the leash. What do you recommend, especially for a larger dog? I mean, what is the best way to be the most secure in knowing that you've got the best control on your dog, especially for like the circumstance that you mentioned where you're walking along and maybe somebody else's dog is in their own yard and not tethered and may approach you?
I think there are a lot of good options out there, and it differs by the dog. They respond better to certain ones, but what I don't think are as effective, especially for a larger dog, are those leashes that you push the button and it stops it, the extendable leashes, and you push it again and it'll let it go out. I know a lot of those, they break, those buttons break, and so basically it's just an extendable leash, and you don't have a whole lot of control over that. So I've never been a big advocate for those extendable leashes. I think the gentle leaders are fantastic, but dogs really have to be trained. That does take a great deal of training, just because it's something that goes over the bridge of the nose. And puppies and dogs, they don't exactly like that early on, so it does take a bit of training to get used to it. But you have an awful lot of control on the animal at that point if you've got pressure over the nose like that, like a horse almost in that sense. But they also make harnesses you have to be careful with. If it's just your standard harness, then that is not going to give you a whole lot of control. It is better for the dog's body in terms of you're not having a collar around the neck that's causing compression there, and it is better distributed over the chest. However, it gives them a whole lot more power to pull you with. So if they're not very well behaved, then those harnesses, they're not going to help you out a whole lot. Now, they do make harnesses where the attachment of the leash is held in a different area and in a way that it compresses as they're pulling, or if it changes the pressure point up as they're pulling, so you have more control. And those are absolutely, those can be great too, depending on the type of dog you have. But it's just the standard ones, they'll give them a lot more pulling power than others. The prong collars, I've had a couple of clients say, hey, this is the only kind of control I can ever get. I've tried several, you know, I've tried everything else. This is the only thing that works. I don't necessarily have a problem with those, as long as they're not too tight and compressing the skin and damaging the skin and hurting the animal. It depends on the fit for the individual dog. But I would say the retractable leashes and the standard harnesses probably lower down on the list of control for an animal when you're walking.
If you have a question you'd like Dr. Crockett to answer on a future show, you can email it to her to ask drc@wctr.com. This has been Pet Patter.